Mr. Logley, before we begin, can you give us a brief summary of your career in the Illinois justice system?
I was an associate judge of the circuit court between 1981 and 1986. That followed about 6 years, 7 years of being in private practice and also being an assistant state's attorney here in Winnebago County. So I was an associate judge from 81 to 86. And then in 1986, I was appointed to fill the unexpired term of State's Attorney Daniel Doyle. So I became State's Attorney of Winnebago County. I served in that capacity from 1986 to 2007. In 2007, I was appointed to the Circuit Court, and I served as a judge of the Circuit Court for about a year and a half. And then that ended with the election of 2008.
When justices get their positions, are appointments the norm?
In Illinois, the only judges that are appointed are associate judges. They're appointed by a vote of the circuit judges in their circuit. There are appointments to the bench to fill unexpired terms that the Supreme Court can do, but then that judge has to run for election. And that's at the circuit court level. And even at the appellate court level, judges can be appointed by the Supreme Court, but then all the judges have to run for retention as circuit or appellate court judges.
So in essence, that initial vacancy is an appointment?
At the circuit court and appellate level. Now, there are some vacancies that occur in the circuit court level that the judge serves to the end of his term. So there's actually no vacancy. The judges who take his place have to be elected in a partisan election.
How are judges chosen at the higher levels?
It's all done by the Supreme Court. There are seven justices of the Supreme Court. They can fill vacancies at the circuit court level, and they can fill vacancies at the appellate court level. But again, if a judge on the circuit court or appellate court completes their term, then that creates an opening which can only be filled by an election, a partisan election. And the Supreme Court can't dictate who goes into those open positions.
Who fills the Supreme Court vacancy?
The Supreme Court justices are elected as well. And I believe if there's a vacancy, Chase, you're going to have to check this out. I think if there's a vacancy, they just leave it a vacancy. I'm not sure there's an appointment. I think it's just a vacancy until the next election, but I could be wrong. That's an interesting question. I can't say I've ever... Supreme Court justices rarely die in office. They just come to a retirement, and then that position is filled by election. And Supreme Court justices are elected in districts throughout the state. So the second appellate district, for instance, which includes this part of the state of Illinois, is represented by one justice on the Supreme Court. The Cook County courts are represented by three judges on the Supreme Court. And then there are second through fifth appellate districts in the rest of the state. Each one of those districts has a Supreme Court justice. That's a voted on by the people of that.
So what's the appointment process like for a new judge?
Well, in most cases, there is no appointment process. In Illinois, most judgeships are filled by election. And we have elections for judges even though the terms are 4 years and 6 years, there's elections every 2 years,
right?
Because all these vacancies are coming out. The appointments that I mentioned, the associate judges in the circuit court are appointed by vote of the circuit judges. So that's a very local procedure. The judge who wants to be the lawyer who wants to be an associate judge just has to be known by the circuit judges in that circuit. They have to be get good bar polls from the lawyers are always given a chance to indicate their approval or disapproval of associate judge candidates. Those circuit judges that make that appointment, they themselves are elected. So most judicial vacancies in this state are filled by election.
What's the electoral process like for somebody who's running for a judgeship?
It's like running for any other office. The only ethical rule that really applies to judges is they're not supposed to talk about how or what decisions they would make. So a justice who might be against big corporations really isn't supposed to say, if you put me on the court, I'll rule against big corporations, or I'm going to be in favor of insurance companies, or I'm going to be against abortion or whatever. Those are the type of specific issue topics that are to be avoided. Outside of that, a person running for judge, has to raise money, has to, put up yard signs, pay for billboards, ads on radio, TV, newspapers. There's no difference between running for a judicial post at the circuit level, the appellate level, and the Supreme Court level. except for the fact that at a circuit level, you run either just in a county or in a circuit, which may be three or four or five counties. The appellate court runs, generally speaking, through an appellate district of about 12, 15 counties. And the Cook County's judges, circuit judges, and appellate judges, and Supreme Court judges all run within the boundaries of Chicago or, in some cases, the suburbs.
Do they run under a party affiliation?
In most cases, the judges in Illinois are elected in partisan elections and identify themselves as either Republican or Democrat.
What role does money play in this process, particularly since, like you said, like any political candidate, they need to raise these funds to keep the campaign going?
Well, this is where it gets dirty, in my opinion. I was in a judicial race for a circuit court position. I know what it means to raise money. You rely on citizens, but you also rely on lawyers. So you have the situation where you got lawyers contributing, in some cases, large sums of money for somebody they want elected to a judge, and they're going to appear in front of that judge. And I believe that can create the appearance of impropriety. So you got a judge on the bench who had a campaign budget of $100,000 and somebody gave him $5,000 or $10,000, I think that does create the appearance of impropriety. The other disturbing trend in the state of Illinois is that the judicial races have gotten more and more expensive. There was a race in downstate Illinois for a position on the Illinois Supreme Court, and I think each candidate raised and spent about $2 million. That's unheard of. That was the most expensive race at that time in the entire nation. One, the Republican, whether it was true or not, was considered to be more favorably inclined to big corporations and defendants in civil litigation, whereas a Democrat was considered more sympathetic to the plaintiffs in the case. So the insurance industry weighed in and gave a lot more money to the Republican judge. And the plaintiff's attorneys weighed in and gave a lot more money to the Democratic judge. So you had not just a partisan election. You had an election that was partisan between the focus of the lawyers and their practices. And that, again, is those races are getting more expensive every time around. There's a circuit in the St. Louis areas for Madison and St. Clair counties. And these counties are considered a plaintiff's paradise. People, if you've got a lawsuit anywhere in the state, if you can find a reason to file it in that East St. Louis area, Madison, St. Clair counties, that's where you file it, because the juries down there are much more sympathetic to the plaintiffs, somebody who's filing either for like asbestos poisoning or slip and fall or injury in a public way, that type of thing, a personal injury case. Those judicial races, the last time around, I think in 2014, the circuit judges together raised over $1 million combined in all their campaigns. Go to the next circuit, which is the Sixth Circuit, which is just east of there in central Illinois. All the judges running for office there raised under $45,000. So even though there's less judges running, I mean, the money difference, you can tell that the plaintiff's bar and the defense bar get much more involved in judicial races in Madison, St. Clair, and the stakes are much higher, because that's where a lot of the lawsuits are filed that involve a plaintiff going against a big corporation or against an insurance company. And I think that is the most disturbing trend about Illinois' current system of electing circuit judges, appellate judges, and Supreme Court judges.
Is out-of-state money also a factor?
I'm sure out-of-state money can come in, but it probably has to be, I'm sure an insurance company with corporate headquarters in New York can funnel money into a race, by some means funnel a race money into a race here in Illinois.
But it's not the same degree that, say, super PACs have been doing on a legislative basis in states?
I think it's just a matter of time. If it's not there now, it'll be there in the future.
Considering the role of money again, is there a point at which a judge must recuse themselves from a case, and are there any standards where they are forced to do that?
Well, there are standards, and the standard is any time a judge is viewed as not being able to be impartial, then that judge is ethically bound to recuse himself. Parties in civil cases and criminal cases can file a motion that a judge be substituted, and that's allowable by right in criminal and civil cases. I think over the years, the courts have not found that just because they received money from a party, that that makes a judge disqualified from a case. Because if they did that, that would knock judges out of cases left and right. So that money from a particular side or particular person is not in and of itself considered a reason ethically for a judge to recuse himself.
While the judges can recuse themselves, is there any independent body that can enforce those standards?
Well, sure. I mean, if you think a judge is totally biased against you in a lawsuit and you've already substituted from two other judges, and now you got this particular judge, so you have no more substitutions of right, and you believe that there's solid reason and solid evidence that this judge is biased against your party that you are representing, you can file a motion, and that motion will go to either the chief judge of the circuit, and if necessary, you can actually go up to the appellate court.
How aware are you of Wisconsin's attempts to set recusal standards?
I'm not familiar with that at all.
Well,
back in January, a group of about 50 retired Supreme Court justices attempted to set contribution limits on when a judge must recuse themselves from a case. So, say, a Supreme Court justice might have donated about $10,000 from a specific cause. If that was related to a party in their case, then they'd be forced to recuse themselves. In April, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin found that sort of restriction unconstitutional, but the retired justices feel that since Wisconsin lacks any specific standards for judges to recuse themselves, that that creates that same kind of bias.
Well, I think it does. It begs the question, how do you keep a judge from being biased when it appears that he received great sums of money from individuals or organizations that represent a particular class of plaintiffs or defendants? The courts have been reluctant to agree that that in and of itself creates a conflict or that there's any threshold amount, because if they did that, it would create chaos in the court system. And you'd have judges that simply could not hear cases, practically speaking.
Is it just because they have so many different parties that give them money?
Well, in some races, when you're raising, like in the case of those Supreme Court justices, you're raising $2 million to get elected. That comes from a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you're getting money from one particular type of person who's either plaintiff-oriented or defendant-oriented. It's a system where I think it would not be inappropriate to say that in some cases we have the best judges money can buy.
If there was some aspect of the system that you would change with regards to money or recusal, what would it be?
Well, first off, let me say, I think that most judges go out and raise the money and get elected and get on the bench. And I think that most judges that I've been familiar with are scrupulously fair. And if they believe that there is some overwhelming appearance of impropriety, or in fact, if there is a reason to believe that they could not be objective and fair, they will take themselves off a case. I think in most cases, the judges are pretty responsible in that case in Illinois. There will always be exceptions, though. And I think it's the exceptions that create the damage to the reputation of the judiciary.
Finally, is there anything you would like to add that we may have touched on or that I might have neglected to ask about?
I think that both Illinois and Wisconsin have had opportunities in the past to look at the merit-based appointment of judges. Now, merit-based appointment, which puts the power in the hands of the governor or the legislature, is not going to be entirely removed from politics, obviously. The politics of the governor will enter into it. The majority in the legislature will enter into it in certain states where that occurs. But it takes away the whole specter of money and campaign fundraising and the things that people have to do to get money to support their candidacy. I think there are less chances for a judge to be viewed as partial in a case if they're actually appointed. And some states have a very good system of appointment where the names of the candidates go to the respective bar associations. They developed a rating system. They rate the judges as either recommended or not recommended. So I think you will get a higher quality of judiciary because, for instance, let me beat up on Cook County right now. Cook County has some sub-circuit elections, but they also have county-wide circuit judge elections. For years and years and years, if you were Democratic and you had an Irish surname and you're up against a non-Democrat with a non-Irish surname, that's where you'd put your money. They were absolutely guaranteed of election, okay? And keep in mind that this is being voted on a countywide basis. So you got 6 or 7 million people in Cook County. And to presume that they know what they're voting on, outside of a name and a party, would be just ridiculous. So you won't see perhaps a lot of money raised in individual races, but you'll see literally there have been people who have changed their names and legally changed their name to an Irish name. And that may be declining in influence as more and more minorities get onto the voting rolls, but it's still a powerful influence on judicial elections. And we know that the elections in the circuits and the sub-circuits are starting to cost more and more money. So I think merit appointment can remove a lot of those issues. I think, and in some cases in Cook County, we had a Democratic name and a an Irish name and a Democratic Party affiliation, some grossly incompetent people got elected as a circuit judge. And keep in mind, in the trial courts of Illinois, a circuit judge is a very powerful position. They rule on major civil cases. They rule on criminal cases. They sentence people to prison. It's a very powerful position. Yes, those cases can go to the appellate court and Supreme Court on appeal, but the circuit judge in most cases is practically speaking, the final authority. So when you have a situation like Cook County, there have been documented cases of really incompetent people being elected to the bench. If you had a merit-based selection process, you would probably have less of a chance of incompetent people being appointed, because whoever appoints them, the governor, has to respond to the bar associations, the rating systems, and to the public in general.
Then that begs the question, what's the feasibility of implementing such a merit-based system in Illinois?
Well, it would require a constitutional amendment, because the Constitution right now allows for the election of judges. And if we were to go to a merit selection, the Constitution of the state of Illinois would have to be amended. I think it'd be one of the more difficult things to do. The power in Illinois is really not supportive of that kind of change. You look at the legal battles that have occurred around the issue of redistricting, and you look at the decision of the Supreme Court, which has tossed two of those redistricting questions off the ballot. And the votes in that case has been strictly on party lines. And to me, that is one of the low points of any Supreme Court, is when you see a decision on party lines. That really calls into question the objectivity and the independence of the judiciary. But that's a situation we have in Illinois. Given the nature of politics in Illinois, which is a blood sport, I think it'd be very difficult to change the state to the merit selection of judges. I think that would be a good thing if it did change to merit selection. And I'm sure you could find somebody else that could argue very convincingly that merit selection's bad and you want to elect.
Of course.
And there are people who say that the retention system is a good system, because every judge, circuit judge, comes up for a retention vote every 6 years. Appellate judges, I think it's every 8 years. And they got to get 60% of the vote to stay in office. Now, that's a good check on judges. But again, most people have no idea, you know, the performance of a judge. I mean, unless you're in the courtroom, you don't know how they operate. If you're a lawyer, you certainly know. You can certainly read things in the newspapers, but the media, frankly, has not done a very good job of covering, you know, the performance of judges in most cases. So you're voting because you like the name, you don't like the name, so your neighbor told you this guy's a jerk, you know, and so you vote against. Or you just vote for because you have anything bad. So the retention votes are somewhat of a check on judges, but I'm not sure how many votes are an educated vote. Keeping that part, but going to the original selection as a merit selection would be the best of the two worlds. But do I think that's going to happen in this state? I don't think so.
That was Paul Logley. He's a retired Illinois Circuit Court Justice and former Winnebago County State's Attorney. I'm Chase Cavanaugh, WNIJ News.